Thanks, Denise. Take it away.
Okay. Thank you, Jill, and good morning, everyone. Happy Tuesday to all of you. Thank you for the invitation to speak about documentation this morning. It seems like this is a topic that has been around a long time but never can get worn out, if you know what I mean. So, again, thanks, Jill, and thanks to Leading Age, all of your chapters. We're going to talk a little bit this morning about some quick tips and pointers on documentation, really from the medical legal perspective. Let me just clarify one point. When we talk about the resident's chart or the resident's record or the resident's medical record, we're really talking about the same thing. So just to clarify, if I refer to it in a couple of different ways. One thing to remember is that the record, the medical record, has many purposes. You've probably heard this before. Your resident's medical records serve, again, several purposes. First of all, it's a most importantly a vehicle for communication among all of the care providers about what's going on with your resident's care and how your resident is responding to any treatment. It's used for reimbursement purposes, for payment, and verifies that the care that insurance companies or Medicare is paying for is clearly there. We know that. It provides data for research and studies in some cases as well. It may be the basis for planning and implementing any type of quality improvement measures or metrics that are important to both internal and external agencies. And it's probably the most credible evidence in various legal proceedings, including professional negligence and malpractice lawsuits, disability determinations, workers' compensation, actions, domestic or elder abuse cases, and even in determining competencies of your resident. So you can see where that record is going to be very critical. Your documentation is going to be very critical. A key point is that documentation should really tell a story, and it is the memory of the events in your resident's life. And often when I'm reviewing a medical record for a medical legal case, I like to go back to basically use the record to tell the story. I like to go back and read through that chart, read through that record, and sort of get to know that resident without ever having met them. I always say it should read like a book. And when it doesn't, then I have to start filling in the blanks and kind of guessing at what happened. Documentation must have meaning both today when you're referring to the chart, tomorrow, and unfortunately well into the future. As you may know, the statute of limitations on a medical legal negligence case is at least 2 to 3 years out, and sometimes we may not be looking at a medical record or a resident's chart and reviewing care until long after that resident was in your facility. And certainly, I don't know about you and your memory, but my memory, if I can barely remember what I ate for dinner last night. So to try to go back and recall that particular resident, yeah, I might remember Mrs. Smith, and I might remember her generally, but am I going to remember what happened to her on November 13th, 2018 at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, 3 years from now? That's highly unlikely. So one of the difficulties with documentation is that we really never know when we're going to need that to be reviewing that documentation. Like I said, it could be years out from now. So we want to make sure as best we can that the right information gets documented and that documentation is done correctly. So here's, a few more issues that we see. When it comes to the assessment of the resident, monitoring and actual interventions, we want to make sure that our care plans and all the interventions are well documented. One of the allegations we often see is this we want to be able to avoid the failure to follow orders, which is sometimes what we see in our negligence cases. So, for example, you may have physician orders that have been written or the care plan, which is well done, but the interventions and the follow-through just aren't there for whatever reason. Also, changing in the resident's condition. You know, we want to make sure that we see how well that is documented. And when there are changes in the resident's condition, what are they? We're going to talk a little bit more about that later. Any type of chain of command. In other words, when you've had to kind of call up the chain of command, maybe call a supervisor or the DON or the charge nurse or call the physician or the PA that's on call. We want to be able to see that sort of escalation of the chain of command when, in fact, your resident's condition has changed or when you need some type of intervention. And then the post-event documentation is really important as well. If something has happened with your resident, something acute, how is that documentation, how is that event reflected in the documentation? Is it clear? Is it concise? Is it accurate? Again, documentation must be accurate, clear, concise, complete, and timely. So the speed of the is of essence when working in healthcare, but accuracy and completeness is actually just as imperative, if not more so. This charting by exception is not really an ideal situation. We're seeing more and more of that, particularly on the acute care side as well. You've probably seen this in some of the hospital charting. Charting by exception. So if it didn't happen, you have to assume everything was normal, and we only document the things that are abnormal. Again, if I'm trying, again, from a medical legal perspective, looking back, reviewing a chart, trying to figure out what happened, if I'm not seeing it documented, I'm not knowing what's happening. And because trying to make assumptions that everything is normal and nothing is unchanged, again, is not an ideal position to be in. You want to make sure that you're documenting all those communications to your providers and to the care team and also to the family. If there's phone calls being made to the family or the families involved in care planning, any education that's being done with families, any discharge planning, again, all of that is very critical that it's reflected in your residence chart. And be aware of pitfalls with these electronic medical records. We understand that they save time and the days of trying to read someone's handwriting, those are long gone. But issues with hybrid records can be a challenge. A hybrid record is when you have part of your record that is electronic and part that's still on paper. We lose scanned documents. It's just, again, not an ideal situation. So as much as you can get totally electronic, the sooner you can do that, the better off you are. The issue with copying and pasting where you're constantly looking at the same note over and over again where you copy from the day before, you copy from last month, and the resident just looks the same. Copying and pasting is really a problem. So let me just jump ahead just a little bit and talk a little bit about some words you should never use in documentation. You've probably heard this list before. Words like seems or appears or certainly any disparaging comments. You want to avoid using these words because they're very, very subjective. Terms like a little or somewhat. You want to be able to describe instead what you see, what you hear, what you smell, and what you feel. So let's do a little quiz. Okay, everybody on the phone, listen up. I want you to tell me, or not tell me, but just sort of ask yourself, are these words subjective, or they're sort of open for interpretation, are they objective, where they are more measurable and using those senses? So if you use the word in describing a resident as the word is cramping, would you say that's subjective or objective? It is a little bit more objective, especially if you're describing a type of pain, like a cramping pain. That's pretty objective. You know what that sort of feels like. Another example would be their oxygen level. Obviously, that is objective. Anything that is numeric, that's a metric of something, is objective. So a respiratory rate. If you're describing someone's skin as cold and clammy, is that subjective or objective? It's objective because it's something that you feel. You're touching their skin, and their skin is cold and clammy. If the resident describes themselves as being dizzy, and you document dizzy for the last hour, is that subjective or objective? It's somewhat subjective. You want to be a little more clear about that. Well, what do you mean by dizzy? Are they having vertigo where the room is spinning? Does it feel like the lights are going out, where they're having more of a syncable episode? So try to be a little bit more objective about that. If you're documenting pain is better, is that subjective or objective? Again, that's somewhat subjective. You're better off using a scale of some type, a scale of 1 to 10 or some way to actually measure pain, and that's a whole other discussion and presentation. And then this one that I see a lot is appears to be sleeping, subjective or objective, and that's one we see a lot documented across the board. You want to avoid the word appears. Either your resident is sleeping or they're not. So just, you know, if their eyes are closed and, you know, shallow respirations or regular respirations or snoring respirations, you want to describe that. But just appears to be sleeping sounds a little wishy-washy. Imagine reviewing a chart after the fact and you have to answer the question about, well, were they sleeping or weren't they sleeping? So we have just a couple more minutes left. I want to go over this multiple choice, and I want you to think A or B. You tell me, again, silently on the other end of the phone. Here's the first question. Which statement is best to document a resident's behavior in an unbiased way? A, the resident threw the water pitcher across the room during shift change, or B, the resident's rudeness prevented administration of his medications. A is the correct answer. You're describing the behavior. You're not being biased or showing judgment or making a value statement about that resident. Here's the next question. Documentation in the medical record should always include A, a detailed explanation of your disagreement with the healthcare provider's orders, or B, the name of the healthcare provider with whom you discussed a resident's condition and the time of the discussion. The answer there is B. You want to keep that fighting and that disagreement and that argument out of your resident's chart. It's okay to document if you had to go up the chain of command, or if you contacted the care provider and, you know, when they responded and what their orders were. But you don't want to be documenting disparaging or comments in the record at all about your resident or about other care providers. Okay, one more question. See how you do. If the resident falls, your documentation should include A, direct quotes from the resident about his complaints or denial of pain, or B, speculations about what happened leading up to the event and up to the fall. The answer there is A. You can always directly quote your residents or your family members. That's fine, and you can put that right in the chart. What you don't want to document is anything that's speculative, where you're guessing or you're not sure or you're making assumptions. You don't want to put that in the record. Okay, we're down to the last minute. So let's look at some quick red flags that we see in the record. As I mentioned before, when we're looking at a record for medical legal purposes to determine whether or not the lawyers are going to possibly go forward with a case, they'll look for a lack of treatment. In other words, the care plans don't match the intervention, so there's a lack of treatment, either delayed or substandard or inappropriate treatment, which they may or may not know just by reviewing the record. They may have to have an expert determine that. Lack of resident or family teaching at the time of discharge, or discharge instructions that just aren't there. Charting inconsistencies, such as big lapses in time, or long notes that are sort of self-serving after the fact, things that are documentation that's typically out of the ordinary. Battles between healthcare providers, we talked about that. Plaintiff's attorneys love to see that. When they see battles in the chart, they basically start licking their chops and thinking about, yep, we're going to go forward with this case. When you see that in the chart, you know it's going to happen in the depositions and beyond. Lack of entries that, again, aren't documented as such or that appear to be self-serving. In other words, it's okay to do an addendum. Yeah, someone's calling me. We're done. We're out of time. I thought I heard a noise.
Yeah, you're good.
And Okay, the last couple of red flags for in a chart is any type of fraudulent documentation or improper alterations. Again, very difficult to do an electronic record, but it can be done, and I can tell you they will be discovered. One of the things about electronic records is very difficult, if not impossible, to erase things or to modify a record or to improperly alter a record, because there's metadata behind the scenes that is all discoverable in the event of litigation, and it will all come out. And certainly any destruction of records or missing records. So if you still are using paper records and those records go missing, they don't get scanned into the chart, or they don't get placed into the jacket of the chart, and those flow charts or whatever you're using go missing, I can tell you that the plaintiff's attorneys, again, are going to see that as a bonus for them, because they'll go into court and argue what's called spoliation of evidence. And then you are on the defense. You have to prove that that didn't happen, and that's not a good place to be. So, again, some real quick tips for you on documentation. Those core principles really haven't changed. I've been teaching documentation for the last 20 years as a risk manager. I've been reviewing records, patient records, resident records as an expert as well for defense and plaintiff's attorneys. And the golden rules really have not changed. Even in this day of electronic health records, the principles of just good, solid documentation still apply. Sure, no problem.
That's great. Thanks so much. I'm going to turn the recording off, and then we can open it up for questions. Very good. Questions? Hearing none, thank you all for attending. And, Denise, thank you so much. Take care, everyone.
You're welcome, Joel. Everyone have a great day. Take care.
Bye.
Yeah, I listened to the whole thing, and my name or number didn't show up at all.
No one.
Thanks for John. Yeah.
There's something
that's weird.
I'm not sure.